On this Monday, we are having a call-in show regarding bear problems, or perhaps bear non-problems. But it is that time of year when the bears are out of and about. And joining us this morning from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, we have Assistant Area Biologist Ross Dorndorf. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And I should ask, are we having much of a bear problem this year?
This year has been a little bit different than the year before. Issues have been down just a little bit. And the real spike that we saw was on July 4th when everyone else is out barbecuing and getting food in the trash and potentially getting more trash than they normally would and having to leave it out. But it's been a little bit different, so.
Okay, and we here have black bear. Mm-hmm. What is it, I guess, that we should know about black bear in particular and maybe a little bit about their behavior and what to keep an eye out for?
Sure. So black bears are vegetation, and they key in on trash when that vegetation is not as abundant in the wild as it should be or could be. So on years that they are a little bit lower, they will key in on trash and come in to areas with a lot of food available in town. So.
Okay, and also joining this, I was off work Friday, so I did not know that you were going to be here, which is fabulous. We have Police Chief Joe White here to help us out as well to talk about the police side.
Thanks for having me.
Of bear problems. And I'm gathering, I bet that police officers have to deal with bear troubles off and on.
We do, especially throughout the spring and summer months. We end up dealing with quite a few calls off and on.
Sure. Okay. All right. So we'll add that element in there as well. And we have the bears out there. Are there particular areas, and maybe this is for both of you, are there particular neighborhoods, particular areas where you're finding particular problems?
Sure. The biggest thing is where there's houses that are in these green belts or in areas that are really close to, you know, the edge of town, and it's easy access for bears to come into a house and maybe hit a trash and then go back to a safe area for them to get to, and then just go in between those areas and have a safe spot. So, and certain neighborhoods are areas like where I'm from, Forest Park, there's definitely a lot of places for bears to get in again and hit the trash and then go into a safe spot. So. Yeah,
and it looks like you have a list.
I just pulled up some numbers from last year and this year, just to kind of. This year hasn't been overly bad for us for bear calls in the city. To date, year to date, I think we've ended up with 16 different bear calls, 6 trash related calls. So some of those might overlap compared to 2017, where we did 102 bear calls and 53 trash related calls, and a lot of, again, they're going to overlap, bears pulling trash out. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed over the past few years is the complexes in town, some of these apartment complexes. In the past, the dumpster areas were really hit hard, and over time they've actually put fences up, put gates up, and made them more of a hard target so the bears can't get in there. So that's reduced some of those problems for us. And in certain areas like Bear Valley, there's a few of those places. But honestly, we just see them all throughout the city.
Mm-hmm. And you were also saying, Ross, that there seem to be fewer. In fact, both of you were saying there seem to be fewer bears. Is there any idea of why that is? Less interest in trash, more natural stuff out there that they're interested in?
I think it's mainly more natural food sources that are available this year. Just in my walks and hikes through town and on the trails, there's been quite a few berries. And when there's a good mast, there's no reason for a bear to be in town other than to really key in on, you know, these food sources that are easily available, but they don't want to be in town. That's the main thing. They want to avoid that kind of habitat. You know, it's not what they want. So
there are some, though, that they seem pretty comfortable in the neighborhoods.
Sure.
No, they do.
Yep. And it's kind of an individual basis for the bears, you know. But again, mainly they don't want to be in town. It's stressful for them, and they'll avoid it actively if they can.
What can people do? Obviously, keep your, you know, trash secure, but what kind of things can people do to deter bears?
Sure. There's quite a few different options available. If you have a trash can that you're putting out, definitely make sure that you put it out right before they're going to pick it up, if you can, or the day of. And if you are in one of these areas with a green belt or access for these bears to come from their natural habitat into human habitat where you've seen a lot of bears around, try to get some straps on those cans to secure them as much as you can. And the folks at KIC were gracious enough to get us some really strong ratchet straps. So if folks are having issues or noticing a lot of bears in town, they can give us a call, and we have some of those available.
Oh, so people could drop by ADF&G and pick something up.
Yep,
if they
absolutely.
Want. Mm-hmm. And also, I know 1 year there was for a couple of years, I think, just sort of an education display at the plaza where it showed people how to ratchet strap, because sometimes people aren't quite sure maybe what to do.
Yeah, and we actually had one of our cans with one of those straps on it displayed down at the plaza for a little while, and just demonstrating how to attach it and what it looks like.
What are the biggest attractants to these bears, do you think? Are there certain foods or certain things that, you know, avoid putting those out in the trash until the last second?
Definitely food scraps. So if you're in a situation where you really don't have much space or like a garage or somewhere secure to keep your trash can or your trash, definitely try to take all organic things, food scraps and stuff like that, put them in the freezer, and then only put things like cardboard or styrofoam, non-organic things into your trash can. And then on trash day, go ahead and take your frozen goods and throw them in the trash and put them out for the carriers to pick them up.
Okay, what happens to bears that, you know, get into trouble and are maybe known offenders? What do you do? Is that working with the police? ADF&G is in charge. How does taking care of the bears work?
So if it's an emergency situation, we would definitely tell you to call either KPD if you're in town or the troopers. But if it's non-emergency, say you just saw a bear hitting a trash can or something, go ahead and call Fish and Game, and we'll take a look and see what's going on and see how we can mitigate those occurrences.
And if they are repeat offenders, you have to generally eliminate the bears, correct? What do you do? What happens to the bears?
For the police department, we put them into two categories. We have nuisance bears, which they could be repeat offenders on and on. And then we have public safety bears. So to us, a nuisance bear is one that just keeps it in a trash can. A public safety bear is when we go to scare them away, they don't want to leave. They might start being more aggressive towards humans, towards territorial, not wanting to leave that trash can for whatever reason. And so if they become what we feel is a public safety bear, then we will put them down.
Okay, and this is a call-in show, so if you have questions or maybe you have some tips on how you deal with trouble bears in your neighborhood, you can give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723, because I find a lot of people oftentimes have really good ideas on what to do. And another question is vehicles. Because I've heard so many people have bears break into their vehicles, even if they don't have something in it. What is it maybe that attracts them? Just old, old scents?
I mean, it could literally be one wrapper that's in your car that you unwrapped a Snickers and left it in there, and that's enough to bring them in. I've actually trapped bears with a single pop can in the back of a trap, so it doesn't take much, you know, totally empty.
And I want to come back to the ratchet straps real quick. For the police department, we really do try to do an educational process. So if we have a resident that's not complying, we go up and we warn them. We try to work with them. Eventually, we do have to issue citations from time to time. And that's kind of our last resort. We really don't like to do that. But KIC really did a great job with these ratchet straps, and they've given them to us too. And we've actually handed some out to people. We've gotten at least one. I know we handed out this year. Going up to their house, educating them about how to properly secure their trash, and then giving them the ratchet strap, showing them how to work it and secure it. So we do have those available also, and I believe most of the guys have them in their cars to hand out when we see these problem areas.
And you mentioned also about, say, trash receptacles that cover a whole area, like it's an apartment complex or Maybe there's multiple users of that. I would imagine that can sometimes get more challenging. Not everybody's locking the gate. So a lot of it is educating your neighbors, mm-hmm. I think, as well.
Absolutely.
We do have a caller, so you'll need your headphones to hear our caller. And joining us this morning, we have Marge. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, do you have a question or a comment?
I do have a question. I'm curious if you're getting any reports this year of bears breaking into people's cars. Last month, I had a bear rip out the door handle on my car out in Herring Cove trying to get in. And, you know, we hadn't had so much of a problem with this. A few years ago, there were some bears that broke into virtually everybody's cars. They knew how to open the doors and get in if the cars were unlocked, and they got into trucks and vans and everything else and did a lot of damage. But I was just curious if you're getting reports of other people having problems with that this year.
Okay, thank you very much, Marge. Yeah, we were just discussing that briefly with regards to vehicles. Are you noticing a rise in that, or are people reporting bears getting in their cars?
Typically, we don't get them inside the city limits. That's typically a trooper call outside the city that's been happening. To my knowledge, we haven't had one yet inside city.
Yeah, and here at Fish and Game, we haven't had a direct call of bears getting into a car, but we've had them entering residence. So it's definitely a red flag when that happens and something needs to change.
And what, I mean, they're just bold? They're just walking in the house?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a situation where, again, the habitat for them to move in and out of these communities is perfect for them, where they can get to a safe area. And this specific instance, there was brush kind of right up to the house, and it bear smelt some food that was thawing inside and popped through a screen and ate a few things and then left.
And I don't think people often understand how strong these animals are. I mean, they can rip a door open.
Yeah, they don't have too much trouble. They're amazingly strong, and, you know, they're built to survive out here. So you definitely lock your doors and make sure that there's no food scraps or candy wrappers or pop cans or anything just left in your car. And it shouldn't be an attractive attractant if you don't have that kind of thing available to them.
And this is telling me I need to get out to my car and start cleaning up a few items. Definitely. And vehicles in particular, are there certain ones they just learn what a car is or something? Because I just have had neighborhoods, or not this year, but in previous years, people tell me that the bears just go for all the cars. And I'm guessing they obviously learn that, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, again, if there's an attractant available to them, any kind of a trash, you know, it's just something that they can smell, and they have an incredible sense of smell to be able to do that. So it's an easy target for them to just kind of pop in and pop out if it's like an open door. But, you know, the case where they're breaking into a car, that's when it, again, ups the level of what we need to do to respond to that.
Again, this is a call-in show, so if you have any tips, if you have questions, give us a call at 225-9655. Or 1-800-557-5723. I also, at least in my neighborhood, I know there was an issue with people raising animals, mostly chickens, and that bringing the bears in as well. So if you have, say you have livestock, some kind of animals, what can you do to protect them from bears?
Sure. There's not anything in law that says you have to use an electric fence for these, but we highly, highly recommend that if you have chickens, or if you have, you know, like a beehive even, to get an electric fence around that, or berries in a garden, things like that. An electric fence is an excellent option to deter bears.
It seems like with the livestock, too, a lot of times they go after the food, the feed.
Not even the animals.
Stuff. So I'd really secure any kind of the feed for the livestock, secure that up real well.
Yeah.
And I know that's been a discussion, too, about taking down bird feeders, things like that,
Yep, absolutely. Bird feeders should really come down in about the end of March, April time, and then you can put them back up maybe in December, so because that's the time when bears are active and out and about. So even if you were to take it out and, keep them away, the seed that even is left over just a little bit can definitely be an attractant.
Okay, and we do have another caller. We have Frederick on line one. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to offer a suggestion I got from a lady up on below Dearmont. And her suggestion was she would boil hot peppers and take the juice and put it on her garbage can. And then she got into putting it on her boundary line. And she found that it not only kept the bears away, but also kept the dogs away, too. And that was, you know, just boiling hot peppers and then pouring the juice around.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Huh. Have you ever heard that before?
I have not heard of that before, but one thing that's interesting about that is a common deterrent, especially when you're hiking, is pepper spray. And when you pepper spray, a bear or whatever instance you're in where you need to use it, it actually becomes an attractant after. So they actually key in on that as well.
It becomes an attractant?
Yeah. After it's been sprayed, they will come in and investigate because bears are very curious and they think it might be a potential food source.
So as it dissipates, the odor dissipates away?
The pepper spray itself, it lingers for a really long time, and it can keep them coming in just to investigate. So.
And we have another caller. We have Leah joining us on line one. Good morning, Leah. Sorry. Could you start over again? I didn't have the microphone up. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it's okay, Maria. Hi, this is Leah. I wanted to, thank you all for giving tips on bear safety. And this seems like we have, to me, here in Ketchikan, there seems to be a lot more bears this year, including eagles. But I grew up up north where there are polar bears, so we were even more cautious about going outside in the wintertime. But to me, it seems like here, I'm not as cautious as I should be. But one of the things that we do, especially with the fines that we have, if your black bear comes into your property and, tears up your garbage bin, is that we sometimes will spray like ammonia on our, mixed with water on the trash bin or a garbage bin. And that seems to be working, along with the, bungee cords. But that was just one of the tips that I wanted to share with you all. Bears hate that smell. For listening in, thank you for sharing all this really good information with us. That's all I wanted to say, Maria.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Leah. And, I've heard that as well, of that ammonia smell or urine smell will deter them.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one. And I haven't personally heard of any stories on that, so that's a good one to look into.
I think the thing about that, both of those, like the pepper or that, just because of how much rain we have around here, mm-hmm. I would imagine you'd have to reapply quite a bit to keep on top of that. Let's talk about hiking in the woods. We were talking about the neighborhood bears, but also just when you're out there, when you're out and about, what should you do? I think we often hear it, but it's good to be reminded of what do you do when you're out and about. Or even in, maybe even in town and there's potentially bears out there. What are good things to do to keep your eyes aware of and listen for, and what to do if you do encounter a bear?
Sure. First depends on kind of where you're hiking and what kind of species you're going to encounter, because encountering a brown bear versus a black bear is going to have a different response from the person hiking. In general, hiking with a deterrent like pepper spray is a really good idea. It's an excellent deterrent for them. And with black bears specifically, which are more common here around town, again, they don't want anything to do with people. So if you're hiking around and you encounter a bear, just go ahead and stop and make sure that the bear either knows you're there or does not. And if it doesn't, just slowly back away and make your way around, or go ahead and push forward if you absolutely have to, but do it slowly and make sure that the bear knows that you're there. So things like just talking when you're walking along in the woods is a good way to get around in bear country, just so they know you're there. And if the bear were to notice that you're there and turn around and present itself as being slightly defensive, a defensive bear has a different response. So you basically want to stand your ground, stop, talk to the bear, and I use a baby voice. It works pretty well. and just see how it reacts. So if it starts popping its jaws and huffing, it kind of sounds like, that's a response to say, hey, you're too close to me, stop what you're doing, and just go ahead and start slowly backing away. If the bear charges, go ahead and stop again, talk calmly, and just make sure that it doesn't continue the charge. If the bear were to continue the charge in a defensive manner, and it came up and say it bit you or something, you want to go ahead and lie down on the ground face down, take your fingers, interlock them, cover up the back of your neck, and protect your vital organs, your neck and head and face. And usually what a defensive attack would elicit is just a bite, and then they would want to make sure that you're basically not a threat, and then they'll move away. And then the final case is a bear that is potentially predatory or a non-defensive attack where the bear has purpose. It's not huffing and popping. It's not moaning. It's coming in, and it is coming at you with intent. In this case, you want to talk in a firm voice, and you want to make sure that the bear knows you are not something it can eat, and you want to basically be big, be bold, and if it comes up and jumps on you and it bites and then continues biting, you want to fight for your life. And use everything you've got. Use your deterrent. If you've got a knife or anything you have available to you. But again, I have to stress with black bears, this is rare. This is not something that you will encounter commonly. So more common is just seeing a bear in the woods and letting it know you're there and just enjoying it.
Yeah, and it's lovely to say be calm and do the best you can. And I would say just for me, I haven't encountered that many bears, but when I have, they have always just run away.
Yep.
I've never had one stand ground, but I also understand like with cubs, if there are cubs involved, then it can be a little trickier.
Sure, and that would more than likely be a defensive posturing and gesturing from them. And more than likely, you're going to stand your ground and just talk calmly. And she might do a little pounding on the ground with her paws. But essentially, you just move away slowly, and the situation usually just becomes that. And that's it. So, yeah.
Okay. We have a call from Donna. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. Enjoying your show. The bear info is great. I just had a little something to add to the deterrent for bears and garbage cans, something my grandmother did her entire life for her gardens, and it's mothballs. And I take mothballs and put them in an old pair of pantyhose and tie a knot, and I tie it so that it hangs inside my garbage can. And I've had great pleasure watching our neighborhood bear once come up to it and step back and shake his head and paw his nose and take off. And I don't have any trouble anymore.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that tip, Donna.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
I think I've heard that one as well about mothballs that definitely not a pleasant odor.
Yeah, right.
For people as well.
So. No, and some of these tips are really good. I haven't heard all of them. I've heard some of them, but if you can get something that works for you, then by all means do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were also talking, Ross, about if you have a lot of brush around your windows, that could be an attractant.
Yeah, things like salmonberry are pretty common to kind of grow right up to the edge of your house or property. And if you're finding that there's a lot of bears moving in through your area and you want to make it less of a nice place for them to be, essentially kind of knock some of that brush back, and it'll help quite a bit with bears moving through your property.
Okay, and we have a few minutes left. If there are more people with questions or comments out there, get them in now. Give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And I'll ask both of you, is there anything we haven't hit on right now that you wanted to discuss? Something that comes to mind? I don't want to leave here without you getting the opportunity to get some info out there that maybe we haven't hit yet.
No, I think we've covered quite a bit.
Okay. I have a few other attractants that are kind of common that people might have out and might not have had an issue with bears yet, but the fact that they're there, it's still an attractant, and you can still eventually have a bear there, because we've heard some stories from folks saying, you know, I've never had a bear come into my yard, and all of a sudden here it is, and it's up on my grill, or it's up near my compost or something. So things like grills, just keep them clean, and if you have any kind of an indoor storage for them, use it like a garage or a shed. But otherwise, clean it out really well. The grease pan, clean that out. And with compost, we highly recommend using a bear-resistant compost can. And when you do compost, mixing the litter or food scraps that you have in with a lot of duff or leaf litter to keep the scent low and keep it degrading and constantly mixing it. But bear-resistant cans for that are about the only way we'd really highly suggest using compost. And with pet food, definitely keep it inside and feed your pets indoors. It's just such an easy access for bears to just walk up and smell whatever kind of pet food you have out and get into that. So feed indoors for sure.
And I have just a personal anecdote. I don't put food outside, but I always have a bowl of water on the front porch for neighborhood animals. And one morning I opened the door and there was a bear drinking out of the bowl. So you never know.
Can I address the cans one more time?
Yeah.
Sorry. There was last year, year before, people were putting hasps on the trash cans and then and securing the hasps like you would on a shed door or a gate. And it seemed to work really well, but that was a problem for the landfill folks. So please don't alter your trash cans. If you need to, call us for the ratchet straps. That's their approved method. But please don't attach stuff, physically attach hardware to the cans.
Okay, that makes sense.
That was one thing that they really requested.
And Deb Turnbull, did you have a question or comment?
I have a question. Is anyone tagging or noting bears in their area? For instance, I have a male bear that I've seen twice now in my neighborhood, about a week apart. And then there's been a sow sighted up here with three cubs. So I know with the CAPS people, that's the Ketchikan Amateur Photographers, they're always taking photos. And there's one sow at Herring Cove. By her color, I always know which bear this is with her cubs. But is there anybody kind of noting which bears are in which areas so we are aware?
We don't have any active tagging projects in the area right now. And in terms of just noting specific bears, it's great that you do know a specific bear from an area. It helps us gauge, you know, whether, you know, it's that bear hitting a trash can or something like that. So it's good to note if you do see a bear hit a trash can, any distinct marks on the bear, you know, scars or white patches on the chest or things like that. But that's kind of the extent of what we're doing. Yeah.
So if I see this bear repeatedly, this young male bear, mm-hmm. wandering through my neighborhood, if I take pictures, I should submit them to you it's kind of a tagging, sort of, kind of.
Yeah, it's interesting to note for sure, and just to have that information in general is good. We can't necessarily do anything like a population estimate or anything just off of that, but it's just valuable information as a note of this bear is here. And that's a good thing to bring up is, you know, if you just see a bear walking through your neighborhood or anything, it's not necessarily a bad thing or anything to say, you know, oh, I have to call Fish and Game. This thing needs to be removed. We live in bear country, and these animals move through. And sometimes they just move through, and that's all they do, and that's fine. So the level that we would get Fish and Game involved in is if you saw a bear maybe hitting your trash can or your neighbor's trash can, then go ahead and call in, and we'll look into it and see how we can mitigate that. And then a level above that is if there's an aggressive bear maybe charging someone or doing anything where public safety is involved, go ahead and, again, call Ketchikan Police Department if you're in town or the troopers if you are in the borough. So.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. And that actually sounds like a way if, you know, if different neighbors take pictures, you can tell which bear is covering which areas, because I know in the past, and I have a feeling those bears have since been put down, that there were several bears that were constantly hitting the same neighborhoods, and it was sort of known this same bear is looping, this is their loop or something like that. So if people do have documentations, again, be safe. Don't put your life on the line to take a picture of a bear, but you could at least say, I saw this bear at this time, and then you can track kind of where it's going.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Very, very good. Another thing, I guess, about when should one, and I think you've hit that a bit, Ross, but like really when should people call the police versus calling Fish and Game? Is that, does it depend on the time of day? I mean,
I would call the police if you have a bear in your trash and staying on your property where they're not wanting to leave. If you see a bear and it comes up and he's just wandering through the area, that's really not a police issue. I mean, we'll go up there and make sure we try to scare them out of the area. But again, like Ross was saying, this is kind of their, they've kind of got dual habitats now. They're kind of urban bears and country bears. And so just because you see a bear walking through your backyard, if they're lingering, if there's, you know, people around, depends on the time of day. If it's 1 in the morning and you see a bear, you know, cruising the neighborhood, I don't know if there's really much we can do about that.
And oftentimes by the time you get there, the bear is gone.
Most of these bear calls we have, we close out those bear calls as gone on arrival, GOA. So, but like I said, the ones that we are concerned about are the ones where they're not afraid of people. They become less afraid. They want to stand their ground. Even if they get into some trash that's, you know, fairly good, when we show up, we kind of yell and jump up and down and scare them away. If they don't want to leave that trash and now they're starting to be very defensive of it, those are the times that we really do need to be involved, because we do share this habitat with them, and we want to make sure that people are safe. I mean, that's what it comes down to for us. Fish and Game, if you see them and you see a bunch of them coming through your neighborhood at a regular time, maybe get a hold of them. Most of the bears in the city really do know the collection routes. They know the times. I lived up on Chatham Street, and every Friday, I mean, we would see them Thursday night cruising the neighborhood.
They pull out their little watches and go, nope, it's...
When I worked graveyard patrols, I mean, I knew where I should be at what time of the week to see the bears and chase them away. So, and like I said, 9 out of 10 times, it's simply when we drive up in the police cars, we can hit the lights or the sirens or get out and yell at them, and usually they'll run away.
Okay. And so, again, I guess the biggest message, keep your trash secure. Don't put it out until trash day. Yeah. And do what you can to keep bears wild, as they say. And a good idea to check your car, make sure there isn't food items in your car or something that might attract them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't run across that yet where a bear's in the cars. I have heard stories about south where people have actually gone out in the morning and bears trapped in their car.
Yeah.
And definitely call Fish and Game because I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, okay. I think we had one in the past couple of years that a bear got in and got locked inside the car and then just tore it apart trying to find a way out. So locking your doors and keeping that tracked and out is the way to go.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you much. We are out of time. And thanks, everyone, for the calls. Again, thank you so much to Ross Dorrendorf for coming in here this morning from Fish and Game, and also Joe White from the police department. And again, be safe out there and keep things safe for bears as well.